This message, entitled World Hello Day, was delivered to Christ Our Rock Bible Church on November 20th, 2016, by the Reverend Roy D. Warren, Jr. The scripture reference is Psalm 107, 1-8.
I'd like you to turn to the book of Psalms, please. The book of Psalms. And it's Psalm 107. Now, it's a longer psalm. And it kind of, I'll explain it in another minute here, that it does repeat itself, not like Psalm 136 from last week, but it does repeat itself. Okay? You won't see that immediately in the scripture that's before us, but I'll show it to you. Okay? Praise God. Psalm 107. And it's the first 8 verses. Okay? Ruth Ann, would you like to share that with everybody? It's just the first 8 verses. Okay? Psalm 107.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He has redeemed from the hand of the enemy and gathered out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses. And He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city or a dwelling place.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Yes, amen. Hallelujah. Would you please come into prayer with me as we seek the Lord for His presence, as we turn to the Holy Word of God. We've heard a scripture read today, and now we need to dig into it. Praise the Lord. Amen. So, would you pray with me, please? Lord God, we just gather our hearts before You, Lord, today. We just want nothing, Lord, but the fullness that You have to give, the fullness, Lord, that You want Your people to have. And I thank You. I thank You for that, dear God. I do pray, Lord, that You would touch everybody in this room, everybody out of this room, dear God, with Your truth here. Lord, it might be by way of hearing it right here in this room. It might be by way of being online or on a CD or whatever it might be. But Lord, it's still Your word. And it's still going to go forth in the power of Your Holy Spirit because You have called for it to. And we now give it over to You, dear God, and truly desire for that to take place even in this place today. Lord, we're coming upon this holiday season, dear God, with Thanksgiving just around the corner and Christmas around the next corner. And I just pray, dear God, that You'll have Your way in every way, dear God, this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Does anybody here know what today is? What is today? Oh, we know it's the 20th and we know it's a Sunday, right? But I mean, what special thing is today? Well, I don't know either. I've heard different times that every day is special in one way or another. I mean that even our society has labeled this as National Day for this and National Day for that and so forth. But did you know what tomorrow is? Okay, if you don't know about today, do you know what tomorrow is? Yes, I'll tell you what it is. It's World Hello Day. Anybody ever hear that? I have to admit, I don't remember ever hearing about it. World Hello Day, but it's a real thing. It's a very real thing, actually. And glory to God, because He's the one who truly gives the understanding. And here's what it's all about. It's a matter of anyone being able to participate in this so-called holiday, this World Hello Day, simply by saying hello to 10 people. Tomorrow, 10 people. I don't find a lot of problem with that because I, a lot of times, as I'm passing people in the hallway at the hospital or in nursing homes or whatever, I very often, if not all the time, acknowledge them, say hello, how you doing, and so forth. Many times they respond back. Just the other day, I said hello to somebody as I was passing by, and they didn't say a word. Didn't nod, didn't show any acknowledgement of the thing. And you ever notice people do that? They'll be walking along, and you watch them as they're approaching you, and they'll look off to the side. You mean even a wall? They'll look off to a wall, and then right before they get to you, they look over at that wall again, like there's something that's really there to see. And then by the time they look back over, they're past you, and it's all done for them. Maybe that's just being shy. I don't know. But tomorrow, however, I am asking you to do something different. I'm asking you to say hello to at least 10 people. It was initiated in response back in 1973 to the conflict between Egypt and Israel. You might remember that, some of you. The purpose was to demonstrate the importance of personal communication for preserving peace. That's what it was for. National, or actually I should say world, not just national, World Hello Day. Since 1973, people in 180 questions have actually observed World Hello Day by making sure that they say hello to at least 10 people. If you meet 100 people tomorrow, say hello to every one of them. People all over the world are encouraged to warmly greet at least 10 people, and preferably with a smile. And not phony, not contrived, you know, really, say hello. And if you say how you doing and they go to answer you, stand still for a second and listen. 31 winners of the Nobel Peace Prize have voiced support for World Hello Day as a means of promoting peace and harmony. Now you know as well as I do that strife and conflict are inevitable in our world today because this world is under the curse of sin. But still, the God of peace calls his children to be peacemakers on earth. I mean, that's what Jesus said. Blessed are the peacemakers. He urges us to work at living in peace with everyone. In the scripture, he says, now, that's as far as it depends on you. You may not be able to get the other people, the other person, to say thanks, or to say, you know, how you doing, or hello, or any of these other kinds of things. But as far as it depends on you, the Bible says. Now, this doesn't mean that we should compromise the truth just to preserve peace. But we can minimize most conflict, I think, with others by staying in a close relationship with God and keeping accountable to Him. Oh, I know there's persecution, and I know there are going to be people that don't want to see you be serious about Jesus, but I'm talking about real peace. I'm not just talking about the absence of conflict. I'm talking about a peace that recognizes that God is a holy God and that we are not, that we can become one with God through the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Jesus' death is what made reconciliation with God even possible. The fruit of the Holy Spirit working in our lives includes peace. This God-given peace will spill over into our relationships with others as we live a life of integrity and treat others with respect. It won't always be possible to avoid conflict in the world, okay, because not everybody knows or wants to follow and obey the Prince of Peace. But we can live peaceably with others for the most part if we treat them as people valued, as people loved by the same Heavenly Father that we serve. Now, as I said, this does not mean to compromise the truth. You still got to stand on the truth. And if people are bugged at the truth, well, that's the way it is. But as far as it depends on you, you lead people to a place where there's a reconciliation to a holy God. Not just a silly smile on your face or an expressed hello, but it could begin there. I suppose it could begin there. Amen? See, I think that peace, that oneness with God, is expressed most obviously in a changed heart. And a changed heart is going to include thankfulness. Yeah, thankfulness. It can and should be found in every family if people would submit to the Lord. And no matter what the other dynamics are that are involved, you can't say, well, the only people that have any kind of peace are the rich. Because the poor can have great peace as well in their hearts. A lot of times you'll find that the rich are more anxious about more riches. And so, you know, there's no peace in that either. There was once a young mother and her two little children. They were absolutely destitute. In the depth of winter, they were nearly frozen. There was no heat on in their room. The mother took the cellar door off the hinges and set it up in front of the corner where they were all crouched down, even in the middle of the day, that some of them could be spared the draft and the cold air, that it might be kept from them, that it might shield them, it might guard them, it might rescue them in at least one form or another. And one of the children then whispered to her mother, "Mother, what do those poor children do who have no cellar door to put up in front of them?" You see how everything is relative? Here are these two kids and this mother, they're just as poor could be. But that's not how they saw it. They saw they had a cellar door. And that helped them. Truly, there are very, very few people who cannot count their blessings if they really wanted to. The problem is really wanting to. Right? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Praise God. It doesn't have to be just in the daytime either with a cellar door. You know, when we're out and about, for example. What about at night? What about in the middle of the night, in fact? Many, many years ago, during the days of Matthew Henry, the great celebrated Bible scholar and a commentator, a thief broke into the modest dwelling of Matthew Henry and stole his money. The busy, cheerful old gentleman, far from being downcast, turned to his diary and entered this cheerful observation: "Let me be thankful, Lord, first, because he never robbed me before. Secondly, because although he took my money, he did not take my life. And thirdly, because although he took all I possessed, it was not much. And fourth, because it was I who was robbed, and not I who robbed." You see, it really is a matter of a heart change. It's not just a forced smile. It's not even a fake hello. But you know, it might be able to begin there. Right? A communication with other people that truly draws them to Jesus, shares with them the scriptures even. I know some people aren't going to like that, but, you know, I mean, that's going to be on them. As far as it depends on us, we are to be at peace with those around us. Amen? But a heart change that is lived goes far beyond even that. It doesn't just have to be at home either, whether it's in the daytime or whether it's at night, like it was for Matthew Henry. What about the workplace? What about the schoolhouse? What about in other aspects of life, in the grocery stores or whatever it might be? Fellow by the name of Charles Harvey. He was from Grand Prairie, Texas, according to the record. He felt rather nervous one day as he was driving to an important job interview. He was 15 minutes late for the appointment, and in a hurry, he passed by a middle-aged woman stranded with a flat tire. He would say later, "My conscience made me stopped and turned around, went back to her, and then we would later say, I changed her tire and headed to the interview, thinking that I could just about forget getting the job now. I was so late for the interview. But he got there and he filled out the job application anyway. And he went to the personnel director's office. And the question, of course, is, did he get the job? Well, he sure did. It turned out the personnel director hired him on the spot. She was the woman whose tire he had just changed. Amen? And we don't just do things for people to get things out of them, but look at how this all turned out. And it's not just something for peacetime, when, you know, when it's just normal everyday life, but it's also something in the midst of something tragic, such as war. Such as war. During World War II, a man stood in the street and he gazed at his bomb-wrecked home. And he said to his wife, "This morning, someone came into our dugout, that's what he called it, into our dugout, this mess of a house that's just nothing but rubble, and told me that we had lost everything. It is a lie, dear wife. It is a lie. Thank God I have my health. Thank God I have the strength to carry on with my job. I still have you, my dear, and the children. Thank God that you are all safe. Our enemy has not smashed my faith in the love and wisdom of God or my faith in the ultimate victory of right. I still have hope for the future. I can still call my soul my own. I am still alive and ready for action again. So I reckon that you and I ought to thank God that we have saved far more than we have lost. Houses and buildings may be wrecked and ruined, but you and I can still hold on to things which can never be shaken and never destroyed. Glory to God." Plenty of places in the scripture that we can find the call to be thankful, and I'm sure you know that. We looked at some of that last week. But there are also many injunctions against being unthankful. All right? Many places in the scripture where it tells us to be, not to be, I should say, not thankful. Okay? Unthankful. You see, evidently in God's eye, this unthankfulness is a pretty black sin. He always couples it with other sins that are about as about as dark as crimson dye, I suppose you could put it that way. In one place, speaking of wicked men, he says, "Because that they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful." That's, by the way, is in Romans chapter 1, verse 21, if you'd like to jot that down. They glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. So they didn't even acknowledge him to be the one true God. They knew God, but they didn't glorify him as God. Neither were they thankful. Turn over to 2 Timothy, please. 2 Timothy. Chapter 3. Yeah, 2 Timothy chapter 3. He refers to the unthankful and the evil in the same sentence. And again, in describing the degenerate times that should come, he says, "Men shall be blasphemers. They shall be unthankful and unholy." Unthankful linked to blasphemers. I mean, to be a blasphemer is pretty critical, pretty bad. But right alongside of it is unthankful and unholy. See in what company the unthankful are ranked? If it is a comely thing to give thanks, it must be uncomely not to give them. Ingratitude to man is very vile. There's no doubt about that. Ingratitude towards your parents, ingratitude towards your teachers, ingratitude towards your friend, to your pastor, to your church members, or whatever. It is hateful alike to God and man. And I wonder how much worse it must be to be ungrateful to God. Turn over to Psalm 107, please. That's where we were at the start. Psalm 107. Praise the name of Jesus. Glory to God. 107. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. That sounds like 136, doesn't it? The very psalm we talked about last week. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. There's a call to be thankful. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. They cried out unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distress. Now watch. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go into a city of habitation, for that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonders, his wonderful works to the children of men. Numerous times is this phrase found throughout this Psalm 107. Oh, that man would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works unto the children of men. In Psalm 116, in fact, it's only a couple pages over. Turn to it, if you would, in 116. In verse 12, look at that, verse 12. And what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits towards me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. Amen? Call upon the name of the Lord. Tomorrow is World Hello Day. Okay? It's World Hello. Go ahead and greet at least 10 people with a smile and a hello. Go ahead and hand them an Advent devotional booklet and invite them to church. Invite them to the Christmas Eve service. Go ahead and give them the Christmas newsletter and invite them also to our Advent season that is just beginning today. Let God get the glory. Amen? Let God get the glory. And let it begin right away. You don't even have to wait till tomorrow. If you see other people today, go ahead. Smile. Say hello. Tell them Jesus loves them. Give them something from the church. World Hello Day. But the whole rest of life, I mean, that might be tomorrow, but the whole rest of life is, I know this is a little bit more awkward than World Hello Day, but it's for God so loved the world that he gave Jesus Day. Amen? So give them Jesus. Go ahead and give them the things from our church and invite them and pray for them that they will come and take the Lord seriously, and that we would be, that in ourselves we would be the same way. We would take God seriously. Praise God. People need to see that. People need to see the church rise up and truly give the glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen? Praise the name of Jesus. Would you pray with me, please? Dear God, we just want to thank you, Lord, that you are worthy, Lord. Worthy, dear God, of all praise, honor, and glory, dear God. You are worthy of all thanksgiving. I want to thank you, Lord, dear God, that we know in the depths of our hearts, Lord, as we saw last week, dear God, that thanksgiving is also, it actually comes from the Old English, meaning thanks living. Thanks living. Oh, praise the name of Jesus. I pray, dear God, that you'll just give us a heart full of love for you and love for others, dear God, because they need Jesus. We all do, and we want to thank you, Lord, that we know that, and that we are also in a position to give Jesus to so many people in this Thanksgiving season. That will, I believe, dear God, prepare us even more for the Christmas season coming up. Hallelujah, where we will truly discover the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Praise God. Lord, we pray this all in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Praise God. Amen.